Hello, friends. This is your friend Kent C. Dodds, and I am super excited to be joined by my friend Ian Sutherland. Say hi, Ian.
Hi, Kent. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I did ask you to say hi, Ian, so there's... I'm just kidding.
I'm not good at following instructions.
that's our thing for season four. Everybody listening is probably groaning right now because they hear that at the beginning of every episode. But anyway, I'm excited to chat with you. I have known you, Ian, for, I don't know. I think we first started interacting when you were contributing to Create React App. That's probably where we connected.
I think that's right, yeah.
So I've been using Create React App since the beginning. It was transformative for me. Because before, when I was teaching React, I always had to make my own little Webpack config. And it was super annoying because it was just like, oh gosh, this is just a small little thing and it has nothing to do with what I'm trying to teach people, but I have to do this. I have to make sure that it works on everybody's machines. And it was just a disaster. And then Create React App comes around, and then, okay. So now I just have them install this. And half of the people have used Create React App before. So like, even if there was a problem, they'd know what to do because they have experience. And so, yeah, it was just made a huge difference for me as an educator. And all of Epic React workshops, every one of them is using Create React App under the hood. And it just has drastically simplified things for me. So, yeah, all that to say, big thank you for the work that you do on there.
That's great to hear.
Well, it's awesome. So anyway... you're not just Create React App. You are a multifaceted person, and I'd love the audience to get to know you a little bit. So can you give us an intro to yourself, and then we can get into our chat?
Yeah, for sure. So these days, I'm working as one of the engineering leads at a fintech startup in Canada called Neo. And then beyond that, yeah, I'm one of the maintainers of Create React App, and I have also been contributing to the Node.js project for a couple of years. And just at the beginning of this year, I became an official member of the Node.js team.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And so that's not your full-time thing? Like, you're not just full-time on open source as a, making millions on all those downloads?
No, sadly not. Sometimes, I love my job, don't get me wrong, but I would love it if I could work full-time on open source. Maybe one day. That's kind of the dream.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. You have those Evan Hughes what is his name? Creator of Webpack. Tobias, yes, of course. Tobias. Okay. and so like people who get a lot of funding and they're able to, and Henry Zhu being able to go full time on the open source thing. And I think that's awesome. But there's just so few and far between where that ends up working. And I'm really encouraged by Ryan Florence and Michael Jackson and their work on Remix, where they're actually experimenting with like, hey, let's try and charge for the open source for the software.
Yeah, I really like seeing that. And I think like the Tailwind guys are another good example of that. It's good to see people having success with that model, or just having success with going full time in open source. It's really, yeah, those people they're an inspiration. One day that's where I want to be.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we just want to make it sustainable, right? So that you can make the world a better place in the way that you know how best without worrying about where your paycheck's coming from. So,
right.
Yeah, well, that's great. So I'm excited to chat with you, Ian. I want to get to know your story a little bit how you got into open source. For those listening, if I'm not mistaken, you weren't... on the ground floor with Create React App. You joined on later after it was created. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I came in around, I think, shortly after version 1 was released and work was underway on version 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious how you got into that. And maybe there's some backstory before that, how you just got into open source in general. I'd love to hear about.
Sure. Yeah. I actually more or less did get started in open source with Create React App. I had done a couple, really small things prior to that through work. I had released some tiny open source project related to Puppet, which which is like a configuration management tool that I think no one ever saw or used. And I, you know, I'd made a couple other small contributions to really unknown libraries. But I had always really wanted to get more involved in open source. And I had kind of struggled with how to do that. I think I kind of thought that I needed to, you know, make my own big splashy project like Babel or something, or needed to make like a really substantial, you know, significant contribution to an existing project. And so I was kind of waiting for the perfect sort of opportunity. But it never really came along. I don't know. Life rarely works that way, I think. Hmm. So yeah, then one day, kind of like you were saying, you know, been using Create React App since the very beginning, since it was kind of first released. And I remember coming across some little bug while I was trying to do something. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I bet I can fix this bug. And so I jumped into the source code, figured out what was going on. I don't remember actually what the exact issue was, but it was something really minor. It probably only changed like one or two lines of code to fix it. And then once I actually fixed it and got it working. And so I figured, hey, I should submit this PR. You know, I've done this work. This will help other people. I'm just gonna put it up. So instead of waiting, I guess, for that sort of perfect opportunity, I just solved a tiny little problem and opened up a PR. And that was a really good feeling. Like seeing that PR get accepted and merged. You know, you get like a little rush from it. It was exciting. And that made me just want to do more. So that's kind of what started it all. And then I kind of just continued like making, you know, tiny little bug fixes or enhancements and things like that. And then one thing, like that's kind of a good way to get started in an open source project, because you kind of become known to the other maintainers and people that are working on the project. And you kind of, sometimes conversations will start out of that. Maybe on Twitter or like for Create React App now, we have a Discord server where we invite contributors to chat about stuff. And so being part of those conversations can really lead to larger opportunities. Like I find the issues on an open source project, you know, they're usually bugs that people have encountered and things like that. A lot of projects don't plan big new features via issues. And so I find instead that those kinds of things tend to happen in some of those conversations. And so, yeah, I kind of started talking with Dan Abramov and Joe Haddad, Dan had kind of been spending less time on the project at that point because he was busy with, you know, React stuff. So Joe was kind of taking on more of like the leadership of the project. So, yeah, I just started talking with them more. And, you know, some discussions happened around some larger features that they were kind of interested in. And so I just volunteered. I said, hey, this particular feature sounds interesting. I would love to try that. And so that's kind of how I started to get more involved in the project.
You know, it's interesting. I actually have a pretty similar start to my open source journey, too. Like I had a couple of little small projects and then I started contributing. I decided to make a pull request to fix a bug rather than like hope they fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, you file the issue and maybe they'll fix it, but I decided I'd fix that. And then once you get past that first pull request, making additional ones becomes just so much easier. That it's the first pull request is just so much of a hill to climb. But once you get past that, then it's just very natural to keep on making little bug fixes or adding little features. And then eventually I took over the project. It's called Angular Formly, and now it's not a thing anymore. It's archived and people still use it for sure, but I don't maintain it anymore. But that was a very similar sort of beginning. And I can really appreciate that for you, it was just like, let's just do this little thing and then this little thing. And then eventually you got to the point where you just became comfortable enough to say, hey, I want to try this bigger thing. I think one of the things that is difficult for people is they see this big project and they think, oh my goodness, like I can't even imagine fixing a bug in this because it's just so big and or it's so widely used. It's probably you have magic incantations to make things work, but it ends up just being code and something that you can figure out.
Right. And I mean, that is one of the beautiful things about open source is that you can just go open up the source code and start looking through it. And yeah, you probably don't have to understand all of it if you're just looking to fix one little issue or bug. And over time, you'll learn more. I mean, it's similar with work, I think, too. You know, you're not gonna know the entire code base back to front on your first day. You have to explore and sort of find your way around and learn and build that knowledge up over time. So I think another thing that's challenging with that first pull request in open source is you also need to like clone the project, get it running, figure out how to run all the tests, then make your change. And then even beyond that, you need to read the contributing guidelines, figure out what the process is for getting your PR submitted. So there's a lot of like administrative kind of work that goes along with that. But once you've figured that out the first time, it becomes really easy to just go through that process for future pull requests.
Yeah, you know, I think that there are things that those of us who have gone down that path before, we can do to make that easier. But ultimately, it comes down to the person hits a wall of something they've never done before, and they have to just push through that first little bit so that they, however hard it is, you do have to take that first step of getting through that before you can proceed. Where do you get the motivation to take that first step on something new?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know what actually was the thing that finally motivated me to submit that first pull request. It was just the way I was feeling that day or something. And I found the bug in the code and I fixed it. I was feeling pretty good about that. And I thought, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go for it and put up this PR. I think I had also like hesitated in the past. There's a little bit of a fear I think people have of kind of working in public on an open source project. You know, people are maybe afraid they're going to do something silly, you know, make a silly mistake and look foolish in front of people or something, but yeah. You really have to get over that as well. And for the most part, everyone in open source that I've interacted with, is incredibly nice. Everyone makes mistakes. I still make silly mistakes in Create React App PRs, because I don't work in that code base every day. You know, I forget things, I make mistakes. It's totally normal. So I think you also need to get over that fear a little bit. And yeah, probably the people that work on the project are more than happy to help you. If you get stuck and put up a PR and say, here's what I've got, I'm stuck, I don't know what else to do. Chances are someone's going to jump in and help you out.
That's true. And I think saying things like that can kind of help people overcome their fears on open source in particular. And I think that most of these new things that we want to just start getting into, most of the time the thing that stops us from actually taking that first step or doing something to get into this, whatever it is that we want to, there could be various motivations, but we want to get into something, but we're not doing it. And I think that the biggest reason is fear. It comes down to fear of something. Do you have any strategies or things new, like experiences where you've tried something new and you overcame that fear? Like what do you do to overcome that initial fear of doing something new?
Well, I mean, that was kind of the case for me again with open source. I think that was one of the things that had held me back in the past, was both wanting to kind of do perfect or to do a perfect job or do a really big significant contribution. And then two, yeah, the fear of just kind of looking foolish or failing. And I think starting small is kind of a good tactic for overcoming that. Also, you were mentioning like motivation. Like it's if the thing that you're starting with is some huge feature, that's a big hill to climb. In addition to all of those things that I was mentioning that you have to learn about how the project works and how the team works and how to submit PRs and stuff, you're really taking on a lot there. So I think my advice would just be, you know, start small and just do something small, and that will kind of help you. Or at least for me, it helped me sort of overcome those fears. And then it becomes starts to feel good after that. Like I said, that first PR, you know, it got merged and I felt really great about that. And it really motivated me and gave me confidence to go do another one and another one. And then you just build on that to the point where, yeah, you can be making, you know, more major contributions to project or working on larger, more complex projects. Like that's kind of how I got into Node.js. That was a very difficult project to get started on.
Yeah, I really like the strategy of starting with something new, and it makes me think, or something really small, because it makes me think that, like, if you're just starting basketball, for example, your first shot is not going to be a half court shot. Like it, if you're hoping to make it, you know, and everything, you're going to start pretty close to the rim, and then you can, with over time and stuff, when you learn more, you can take it back a little further. But I think that, like you said, there are a lot of small things that you, there's just so much you don't know, and you don't even know all the things you don't know when you're just getting started with something new. And so by doing something small, it increases your chance for success, which is positive, but it also decreases the impact of a failure as well.
Right.
Which can really reduce the amount of fear that you face. And so it just becomes easier to just go for it rather than saying, okay, we want you to rebuild Webpack from scratch or something, right. You know, like, okay, I guess. So yeah,
I think that's also how a lot of our industry works as well. Right. Like we've moved away from things like the waterfall methodology and, you know, I think that's kind of akin to trying to achieve perfection on that first take. Whereas we've embraced more of like agile and those kinds of methodologies where the idea is just start and just do something and then iterate on it and make it better over time. So I think really kind of embracing that attitude outside of work, I think can be really beneficial.
Yeah. Are there other things that or experiences of things that you have decided to start doing other than open source that you can tell us?
Yeah, for sure. So actually another big one for me actually is just public speaking. I'm one of those people that's just deathly afraid of public speaking. But I would always imagine it as like, you know, I'm giving a conference talk in front of, you know, thousands of people or something. And then I would think, oh, that's terrifying. You know, I could never do that. But I've kind of tried to apply this same sort of methodology over the last few years. And just taking small steps there. You know, there's great opportunities at work, for example. You know, if you're on a team, your team hopefully does, you know, things like lunch and learns or other kind of knowledge sharing sessions. So those can be a really great way to start to kind of practice some of your public speaking skills in front of a friendly audience, or hopefully they're friendly.
yeah, you don't want to, if they're not friendly when you give a lunch and learn, then you've got other problems probably.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so really same kind of approach there, where it's like, just start with maybe a 15-minute lunch and learn, or you know, another thing I've been doing recently is some panel discussions at meetups or other things like that. Like those have kind of been helping me to ease into doing this kind of thing more. And then I'm hoping, you know, over the rest of this year to maybe do like a couple meetup talks, few other things like that, that we're kind of getting closer to that conference talk sort of, you know.
Yeah, hopefully by like the end of the year or something, we can start going back to conferences and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That would be great. Although this is really a golden age for people that are kind of afraid of public speaking, because a lot of conferences you can submit a pre-recorded talk.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's definitely another area where I'm kind of trying to apply the same methodology of just, yeah, starting small, practice. You know, that's a great way. Those little talks are a great way to hone some of your speaking skills. And even just get down some of the basics of presenting, you know, make sure your editor text size is big enough, you know, whatever, little things like that. So yeah, that's really been helping me a lot. And then like at the beginning of this year, I actually posted on Twitter and said, hey, I'm really interested in doing, you know, more live streams and podcasts and stuff this year. Like if you want to have me on your show, please reach out. And so, yeah, I've been slowly, you know, kind of building up and doing those kinds of things. And yeah, I mean, hopefully by the end of the year, I would feel comfortable giving a small conference talk.
Yeah, I don't think you would have any trouble getting into a conference as a maintainer of Create React App. It, like I said, it's just been enormously impactful. I don't need to tell you that. It's so useful. So I feel like the biggest takeaway for me is when you start small, you are able to get through all of the things that you don't know that you're going to, like you mentioned your font size and stuff, like your first talk, you're going to forget that or
right.
You may not even think about it. But after, you know, and another thing is, recording yourself or keeping mm-hmm. track, doing some sort of analysis on your performance, whether that be like a talk or a open source thing or a blog or whatever it is that you've done. Having some sort of record and analysis on how you've done can help a lot as well, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Even another little thing is like learning how to make decent slides. That's not a skill I think that most people just have. And it actually takes a lot of practice to get good at that. So,
yeah, it's kind of like I have this blog post, How to Get Experience as a Software Engineer. And the TLDR of that is you get experience by having experiences, which is like,
right. Yeah,
that's kind of a weird way to say it, but that's really where it comes from. And if fear is stopping you from getting new experiences, then do things to reduce the impact of failure, or, you know, to just improve the, reduce that fear in some way. And I think that by doing that, then you can take that first step. You learn all of the things on this thing. Maybe you fail, maybe you succeed. Either way, you've learned a lot and your next iteration will be even better.
Yeah, that's a really key thing is even if you do fail, even if, you know, maybe you put up that first PR and it gets rejected for some reason, you probably learned a lot even just going through that process. And don't be afraid to try again.
Absolutely. Okay, so we do have a little bit of time, and I'm glad because I wanted to ask you about getting involved in the Node project, because that's one
sure.
that I look at and I'm just like, whoa, I haven't contributed to Node. And like, it just seems like such a huge thing. I know that they're very welcoming to contributors and they're actually a really good example in the open source community in that way. But it just seems overwhelming. Like I feel like it's all in C or something, you know, like stuff that I don't know. So I'd love to hear your story of how you got involved in the Node project.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with you. It is a very, very welcoming project. It's not difficult to get into for those reasons. I had tried a few times, you know, just scanning through the issues, looking for bugs and stuff to fix. It's a very, I'm not even really sure how to put it. It's just very like obtuse to kind of jump into. The code is complicated, so the bugs are complicated, and you know, you really, I think really the best way is to have someone kind of help you, and there is like a mentorship program that Node does, so that can be a good way to get involved. For me though, I was at the Node Interactive Conference in Vancouver in, I think it was 2018. And they actually do, it's like 2 days of conference, and then there's a two-day collaborator summit after the conference. Because, you know, everyone that works on the project comes from all over the world. And so people are together for this conference. So they kind of take advantage of that and say, like, okay, we're going to set aside 2 days and do all kinds of meetings and sessions and like breakout sessions and things like that. And so I just attended that collaborator summit just as like an observer. I didn't work on the project or anything at that time, but they're very welcoming. Anyone's welcome to come and observe. And then at one point they were doing some breakout sessions, and one started, someone said, hey, you know, we're meeting over here to talk about, tooling and like building dev tools with Node. And I thought, hey, that seems relevant. I went and sat in, participated a little bit in the conversation. It was really interesting to hear what some of the other people had to say, like what their kind of pain points were using Node for building these sorts of things. And it turns out that actually there wasn't a tooling group at that point. That was kind of the first meeting. And so we all decided at that point that, okay, we're going to form the Node tooling group. We're going to meet every couple weeks and we're going to talk about some of these things. And so that's kind of how I got involved. And then just participating in those meetings, and you know, the other members were all very kind to me and kind of helped mentor me a little bit, especially Ben Coe. He was one of the...
Oh, Ben, what
you probably know Ben.
Holy cow, I like that guy a lot.
he's great. A great guy. So yeah, he really, you know, we took on a couple projects that we decided we wanted to work on in the tooling group. One of them was bringing support for recursive file removal into core rather than using the RIMRAF package. And so, yeah, I worked on that and Ben helped me a lot to get that work sort of accomplished. And then, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that we've done as part of that group. And then we've worked on a couple other initiatives that are kind of underway right now. Like we're working on bringing recursive copy into Node.
That would be nice. I could use that.
Yeah. And we're also working on a simplified like argument parser to be part of the core as well.
That would also be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see why Ben would be involved in that for sure.
Yargs. Yeah, exactly. So those are all nice things where like if you're trying to build a simple CLI or something, it would just be really nice to have those available versus having to pull in some third-party packages. So that's the kind of work that we've been doing. But it kind of goes back to what I was saying with Create React App too, where like you just want to just put yourself in the right place for those opportunities to come along by participating in those meetings and having those conversations. Those kinds of opportunities to work on some of those features came along. And I had people that were nice enough to mentor me and help me. You just have to start somewhere, you know, and then yeah, be in the right place to take on more opportunities.
You know, what I'm hearing is it seems like community is another great way to combat the fear of doing something new. If you can get a group of people together to help you accomplish this thing. So like instead of starting a podcast all on your own, if you can get a couple other people together to do it together, that can help. Or there's actually this group that started in my Discord and they've since moved out into their own thing that's called the OSS Raid Group, where they go together and they have an org on GitHub and they'll fork the project from the org and then they all contribute to this branch and then make a PR that has like, you know, six or seven people who've contributed commits and stuff. And they all just kind of do it together. And it's this community thing that is really interesting and unique.
I really love that idea.
Yeah, it's very cool. And they've contributed to some of my stuff and lots of what they do is like, we'll get your test coverage to 100% or different things like that, where it's not, they don't have to have a total understanding of the domain of everything. It's very cool. And I think, just in talking with you, it seems like having a community of other people can make a really big impact on how easy it is to get started with something.
Yeah, for sure. That's one, like I said, that's a really great idea what those people are doing. And two, yeah, I think that's really, some of the power of that is like you're saying, by being part of a community or a larger group takes a little bit of the pressure off, of the individual. You have some other people to lean on. I mean, it's just like working on a team at work, right? Like you have people that are there to back you up and people you can lean on when you need help. I think that's a really great idea.
Yeah, that's great. And at the end of the day, like everything is more fun when you're doing it with other people, right? I mean, sometimes it's nice to just be alone for a little bit. Everybody needs their alone time. But in general, I think it's life is just more interesting and fun when you're not, when you have other people to experience it with.
Well, and I think that's sort of a fundamental aspect of open source too, right? Mm-hmm. Like open source is definitely not an individualistic pursuit. It is all about community and the other people that are going to use your project and your work and that are going to help you build them.
Absolutely. Open source is people that like, you know this, and I know this, when you start into open source, at least for me, I thought that I was going to be coding a lot. But when you right. really get into it, you spend way more time talking to people than you yep. spend coding.
Yep. But it's that's also how that's, I mean, that's how you and I know each other. I've met lots of other great people through open source. So, I mean, that's definitely one of the beautiful things about it.
You know, and the computer doesn't return your affections. So like
true.
You can spend a lot of time coding and stuff and you can feel really good about things, but really the rewarding stuff comes from the relationships that you build, as you go through the whole experience.
Absolutely.
So, well, cool. We're reaching down to the end of our time and we do have a homework assignment to give everybody. And that is, when there's something new you want to do, don't worry about starting small, just start. Anything else to add to that, Ian?
No, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, you did help me craft that. So that works. Great. So Ian, we actually are going to do a back-to-back episode. So folks, don't miss that. We're going to talk about building your own tools. But before we wrap up, what's the best place for people to connect with you online?
Probably the best way to connect with me is through Twitter, at Ian Su, IANSU.
Awesome. Good. All right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.